series of messages from the Near Cult, which was my master's thesis in 1980. As I've said before, I first wrote it as a bachelor's thesis about 1978, and they encouraged me to write it because the material in here was extremely important. I studied the gifts of the Bible from the original languages, and I came from the charismatic movement where I was raised into the truth, I would say. And as I look back, and I had had a lot of experience with all of the tongue movement, slaying in the spirit, the gifts and the miracles and so-called miracles with A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, all of the fantastic evangelists of the day. And I have, as I have said, the problem with they call themselves evangelists, but they're not preaching the Word of God. You don't hear the gospel from them. You hear about miracles, you hear about the Holy Ghost, but you don't hear about Jesus, divine blood being shed for you and dying for your sins and saving you forevermore. You don't hear that. You don't hear the gospel. As I said, when I was saved in a full gospel tabernacle Pentecostal church of God, that was a full title of it, I went forward in the beginning of, well, during the preaching message, because they were just up there talking in tongues and things anyway, and I went up there because I read a Bible and I was under conviction and I knew I needed to be saved. And I was saved. My ex-grandmother went up there, Mrs. Brown, and asked me what was wrong, and I told her I thought I needed to be saved, and she told me how to be saved, and I prayed to the Lord, and He saved my soul. And that was the beginning of a different life. Now, the sadness of the charismatic movement is, and it hurts me, because I've seen so much of it, and I've seen people go through a whole lifetime being very religious and yet not knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. It is a horrible thing to see people waste their lives and never come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not all of them are like that. Mrs. Brown, my grandmother, knew the Lord as her Savior. But there she was there in that church. She knew the Lord. I'm so thankfully forever of that. I will meet her in heaven, I know, and thank her for what she did for me that day. But it was an exception to the rule in that church house. Now in Matthew, the 7th chapter, we'll start off there again, and then I'll begin to read from page number 48 in my thesis on the Near Cult. So every healthy, sound tree bears fruit worthy of admiration, but the sickly, decaying, worthless tree bears bad and worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit worthy of admiration. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. We're talking about false religious systems here, is what we're talking about. And therefore you will fully know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Again, over and over again, Jesus himself is telling us that there are false religions out there. Beware. Satan is the greatest imitator. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work wicked, this degrading my commandments and disregarding my commandments. I have said so many times in this message is that the miracles that Jesus did were for a purpose. They proved he was Messiah. The miracles that the disciples did were for a purpose. They proved that the churches they were founding were true churches, and that the message, the Bible they were receiving, was the Word of God. Now, this is talking about at the end of the age when all of these people come before Jesus. Jesus is the judge. So everyone who hears my words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon a rock. Bad trees, bad fruit. Good trees, good fruit. A wise man and now a foolish man. And the rain fell on the floods and came and the winds blew and beat against the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded upon Jesus, the rock. And everyone who hears words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house on pond sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell and great was the, and complete was the fall of it. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his teaching. For he was teaching as one who had authority, not as the scribes. The scribes quoted others. Jesus was the author of the Bible. On page number 48, we're going to go into the gift of evangelism. A. Allen called himself and his group the A. Allen Evangelistic Society. All they preached was tongues and healings. Oral Roberts. Now, it's a really weird thing that Oral Roberts was a so-called great healer, and yet he built a big hospital in a town where they didn't even need the hospital. They had good hospitals. But it was a way to refunnel money. You know, he got up there and said he saw so many 100-foot Jesus, and he told him that you better get all this money. People better send you this money. I'm going to kill you. Now, Jesus isn't 300 foot or 400 foot tall, and yet he encompasses the whole world. I am so surprised by Satan's inspiration when he makes people imagine or shows them things that are so fantastically ridiculous. People having visions where they're going to go, like Peter did and Paul and so on and so forth. Brethren, the visions are gone. God calls you now to work. These people were inspired in the work. They did not have a book to learn from. They didn't have the Bible. We have the Word of God, the most complete rule of faith that has ever been handed down to mankind in the history of the universe. It is infallible in the original languages. It is perfect. And that's how I've gone from this thesis that I wrote in 1980, my master's thesis, to try to show people what really the gifts were and how long they lasted and what they actually did. Evangelist, the word means one who announces good things. Actually, the word comes from angel and good. Good angel or good message. Angel is a messenger. According to Moulton and Giddens, concordance to the Greek New Testament states that the word is used three times in the New Testament in Acts 21 and 8, Ephesians 4 and 11, and 2 Timothy 4 and 5. In Ephesians 4 and 11, it is stated that there is a gift of evangelism. There was a gift of evangelism. Now there's a calling of evangelism. Acts 21 and 8 states that Philip was an evangelist, and in 2 Timothy 4 and 5, the scriptures state that Timothy was an evangelist. An evangelist during the writing of the New Testament was a person that literally spoke forth good news or good tidings. The evangelist could be a deacon, according to Acts 21, verse 8. An evangelist could be a pastor, because Timothy was an evangelist and a pastor. An evangelist could basically stand up and preach the gospel by inspiration. They didn't have anything but the Old Testament scripture. Today, there are four gospels to read and, 27 books. Plus the Old Testament. We have four gospels to read. Then a person can preach the good news. But during most of the first century, they did not have gospels to study. Therefore, it was very necessary for an evangelist to be inspired before the Bible was completed. Today, there are still evangelists, but there is no need for them to have the gift of evangelism because they have the Bible. They don't need direct inspiration. Number 10. That was number 9, the ninth gift. The tenth gift is pastors. Pastors. During the Bible days, during the apostolic days, the pastors were inspired and called of God. Now today, pastors are still called of God. But the inspiration is the Word of God. I know it's kind of running like a faucet for some reason. Pastors, it would be nice if this gift were in effect today. It would sure cut down on a lot of hard work and study and a lot of sleepless nights and praying what to preach next. What would God put on your heart next to preach? What did the church need? What did these people need? The word translated pastors in Ephesians 4:11 is poiomenos. Poiomenos. The word means shepherd, just like a shepherd. Now, out in the country, I've lived out in the country most of my life, and you see shepherds. They go out and they lived with the sheep, didn't they, Maryland? Mm-hmm. Up here, Maryland had a friend that her husband was a sheep herder, and he would come up here in the White Mountains and bring the sheep. And right up here in Middle Canyon was an old sheep camp up there by the creek, and lots of green meadows up in there for the sheep to graze upon. And up against this one tree was a medicine cabinet with a mirror in it where a guy could stand there, brush his teeth, and shave his face and comb his hair. He lived with his sheep. He protected the sheep, and sheep need protecting in this country. There are bears. There are lions, and there are wolves, and there are coyotes. And thieves, occasionally. Down there where we lived in the Old River, California, they'd bring the sheep in out there, and they'd stay out there with them, and you could smell the smoke of the shepherd's fires all the time. There is a place in Bishop called Shaft Bakery. And Shaft Bakery was actually started many, many years ago, but it wasn't called Shaft Bakery at that time. It was a little bakery where the sheep herders would come in, the Bass sheep herders would come in, and they'd bring their bread in there, and they would ask them to bake their bread in the oven. And they begged them for the recipe of that sheep herder's bread. And now they sell sheep herder's bread there. All through the mountains up here, you can find old ovens that the Basque sheep herders built to bake their bread. They lived with the sheep. They lived with the sheep. A man by the name of Lopez, that was the manager of the Tejon Ranch for probably 50 years at least, if not more, brought sheep up off of the Tejon Ranch, I think 5,000 sheep, I think it was. It might have been even more than that. They brought them right through Fish Lake Valley, and they went over the mountains, and he stayed with those sheep. They risked their lives to take those sheep. Sheep have to have food and water. And he took them all the way to Wyoming. Took them all the way up there. When he got up there, the sheep, dog went with the sheep, and the horses went with the sheep. All of it lived. They lived together, and they all went together. Only the shepherd went home. Mm-hmm. And when Lopez got back, General Bill told him, "I want you to be manager of my ranch." And he became the manager of the Tone Ranch. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine took his place, and that was Tony Araujo. And Marilyn's dad knew Lopez. Mm-hmm. He was Spanish, real Spanish, from Spain. And he was a real gentleman. But he was a sheep herder, and he knew what it took to care for the sheep. The word translated pastor in Ephesians 4:11 is poimenos, and it means a shepherd. And it means to care completely for the sheep. Of course, this shepherding is not over literal sheep, but over God's sheep, the members of God's assemblies, His churches. This word shepherd means to provide feed, to apply first aid when needed, to fleece the sheep when needed. Fleece is the fruit of the sheep that sheep produce, by the way. To provide a place of shelter and to make sure that they have water source and provide needed water. And by the way, that water has to be still water. Mm-hmm. Water is scarce up here in the Nevada desert and places, not in Fish Lake Valley, but it's scarce in other places. When Lopez got over the mountains over there and started going up toward Goldfield, Nevada, toward Wyoming, there were a few running streams, but sheep will not drink from a running stream if it's short running stream. You have to dig a pond out where it will run into that pond or that trough to where it will be still for those sheep and won't drink from it because they're afraid of running water. There's also another word for pastor, and that word is episcopos. Epi and scope. Scopos or scopio. Over, epi is a little preposition which means over or upon. And the word scopos means to watch over. One who watches over something. This is a true saying, if anyone, by the way, it's masculine gender. If anyone, a pastor, desires, it is a good work that he desires and holds upon his mind. W. E. Vine says the word pastor. Now remember, pastors are called today, but the gift of pastors as an inspired preacher of God's word is no longer. Now, in the charismatic movement, they will say, "Why do you want to study the Bible?" They don't preach the Bible. Why study the Bible? Just get up and God will fill your mouth. I heard that gobs of times. Well, you go up there empty and emptiness comes out of your mouth and all it is a bunch of babble and hysteria. A shepherd, one who tends herds of flocks, not merely one who feeds them. It is used metaphorically of Christian pastors. Pastors guide as well as feed the flock. In Acts 20:28, which with verse 17 indicates that this was a service committed to elders or overseers or bishops. See also 1 Peter 5:1 and 2. Tend the flock, exercising the oversight. This involves tender care and vigilant supervision. You cannot let your guard down. In the Bible days, they had sheepfolds up here in the mountains, up there above Bakersfield, and where they pasture these sheep in the Greenhorn Mountains and Breckenridge Mountains, all wherever they take the sheep. They take them up in the high mountains in the summer and bring them down into the valleys in the winter. Mm-hmm. Wherever they take these sheep, they have to know the land. And they happen to know the predators that are in that land. There is a necessity of continuous supervision. I read the story of a shepherd up on the Tejon Ranch one time that a bear got after the sheep. And this shepherd went out there and started throwing rocks at the bear. And he ran around real fast around circles around that bear until they got that bear down away from those sheep. I read another story about a shepherd dog that had puppies. And they left the puppies to be tended there at the Fort or Tejon Ranch headquarters. And they took the dog with them to tend the sheep. Dog would fight off lions, the dog would fight off wolves and coyotes. Big dog. But every night, that dog would run home and go feed its babies. And then come back in the morning. Before daylight, it would be back, and then they would start moving the sheep from one blade of grass to another. The duties of a pastor have been discussed. There are several books in the New Testament describing the work and the qualifications of a pastor. It didn't say pastoress either, did it? In your Pentecostal churches, there are women pastors, probably more women pastors than there are men pastors many times. But before the New Testament was written, the early churches had none of these helps. They had none of the Bible. They had none of the books that we have today to study. The pastors also need to be inspired on decisions to make, messages to preach, and how to deal with certain individuals. Pastors today do not need to be inspired as they did before the New Testament was completed, but they need to study the Word of God to be able to pastor God's people. We studied the gift of evangelists and pastors. Evangelists and pastors. Those gifts are no longer in existence. I know a lot of people say, well, that's your gift. It's your calling, not the gift. There's a difference between a calling and a gift. A gift is something that's given to you. You're called to be a pastor in the biblical days and while the Bible was being completed or before it was being completed. And then you were inspired because you didn't have a message to preach. The books. All the books of the New Testament. All the books of the New Testament now we have. And all the books of the Old Testament. And pastors, I want to say this to you also. Study the Word of God and preach the Word of God. Don't take the Bible and take out a sentence or a scripture out of context and preach what you want to preach with it. If you do that, tell them first what that scripture says and say, I'm not going to use this scripture such that, but I'm going to talk about this. Preach the word in season and out of season, as Paul told Timothy. In season and out of season. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out as we study each one of these gifts that you gave to your churches. Father, help us to understand them better than we ever did before. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it. And Father, I pray for all those out there that are groping in darkness, in confusion, in Babylon. I pray for all those people in these cults and isms. There's every kind of flavor of churches in the charismatic movements you can think of. The most important thing is they got this Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that you bring people to your word that they depend upon your word, because it is frozen in stone. For us to know you will always, till you come back for us.